opinions expressed on this podcast do not necessarily reflect those of the management of Louisville.am and Veritas New Media, a Louisville.am production.
Robbing and shooting and raping and killing, bloody murder, molesting, running airplanes into buildings. Every time I turn around, something else is going wrong. Yeah, tell me, what the hell is going on?
Welcome to the Rusty Satellite Show with your host, Rick Redding. The show airs every week exclusively here on the Louisville.am podcast network. Rick's ready to start ranting and raving about his hometown right now. So, here's Rick.
And welcome. You have found the Rusty Satellite Show, the home of the most interesting people in the build. This is your host, Rick Redding. Happy to be back with you again. Show number 110. It is, once again, a good one. I have some great guests this week and some great stuff to talk about. Really enjoying this summer. I have got a great weekend that I spent down at Red River Gorge, believe it or not, to tell you about. And in the second part of the show, I'm going to have a journalist on the show. Chris Ott is a very interesting guy who is a part of the WDRB TV news staff. He's one of the writers, the reporters from the Courier Journal that about 2 years ago moved on over to WDRB. So I wanted to see how that was going, what's going on with local journalism, and how that little experiment of going from writing for a newspaper to writing for a website is going for Chris and all the folks at WDRB. It appears to be a successful thing so far. And I'll leave it at that. You can tune in to the rest of the show to find out about that. So before we get to our first guest, I want to tell you about this week's Snelling Staffing Job of the Week. Of course, once again, if you're looking for a job or if you're looking for an employee, the place to call is Snelling Staffing. They've got all kinds of position openings and work. I think I saw something about the unemployment rate being really low. But if you're looking for a job, here's one. The Snelling has a medical division. Their job of the week is in a large physician's office. That means the physician's office is large, not the physician is large. A large physician office has a meeting opening for an LPN who will collaborate with physicians and other health professionals, coordinate follow-up items for the patients. And the responsibility of these jobs include triage phone calls with patient questions and concerns, use clinic notes and information from providers to complete medical forms, school forms, medication prior authorizations, prescription refills, runs Casper reports on patients, other duties as assigned. You must be a licensed practical nurse in the state of Kentucky. If you're interested in that position or know of someone looking for a job like that, call Stephanie over there at Snelling Medical. Her phone number is 502-814-9800. All right, well, let's move on and let's get on to what turned out to be a really fun and interesting interview. I heard about this event that's coming up this weekend. I urge you to look into it at bourbonmixer.com. But always been fascinated by these two groups that sort of seem like a parallel groups in town. There were the Whiskey Chicks and the Bourbon Brotherhood. And both of them had sort of bourbon-related events that they put on every month. A friend of mine, Bruce Corwin, is one of the leaders of the Bourbon Brotherhood. And they've had a bunch of events that I've tried to get to. I haven't yet. And then I'd been a long time ago, I'd been suggested that Linda Rufinack of the Whiskey Chicks would be a great guest for the show. So, with this event coming up, I thought, well, I'll call. I went to this fascinating place. Linda's office is right above Impella's Aries on Main Street. Great view right across the street of the Old Forester and the Whiskey Row, and it's just a fantastic space. And she runs an agency up there called Exequity, I believe it is. So, I just wanted to find out what this was all about and enjoyed talking about bourbon. They actually fixed me a drink up there. It was all fun. And let's get right into it. Here's my interview with Linda and Bruce Corwin.
As a first-time mom, I have to admit, I really didn't know what to expect. But the people at Passport did. Besides covering me and my baby for maternity care and checkups, they offered me extra rewards for things I really needed, like gift cards so I could buy a crib or car seat, and gift cards for groceries and gas. All I had to do to earn these rewards was join their Mommy Steps program for new moms and keep my doctor's appointments, things I was going to do anyway. When they say, we take the time to care, they really mean it. That's why I choose Passport.
Why will you choose Passport? call 1-800-578-0603. That's 1-800-578-0603. And choose Passport. 1-800-578-0603. Passport Health Plan. We take the time to care.
Today, the Rusty Satellite Show is taking a well-needed respite from the world. We're having a drink up here with Linda Rufinack and Bruce Corwin. And I'm going to let them tell you why they are on the Rusty Satellite Show this week. There's a really, really big event, a very exciting thing coming up this weekend. Linda, we'll start with you.
All right. Well, our event that we got coming up this weekend is our second annual fundraiser called the Bourbon Mixer. We had our first event last year where Bruce and I came together and decided we wanted to do something good for charity. And it went, all the proceeds went to benefit the Coalition for the Homeless last year, and we raised about $10,000. So we decided we want to do a repeat, and this year we've chosen the Bus Buddies of Kentucky as our beneficiary, and we're great hoping group to double that goal this year, and it's all a great event that we've got planned.
But I'll stay with you just a minute. I'm really curious because I've seen for a couple of years, I think, about Whiskey Chicks, and, mm-hmm. you know, that's sort of a nice name, a cool name. But what are the Whiskey Chicks? It's not a band.
But even though it does get confused sometimes. the Whiskey Chicks were started January of last year, and it kind of came out of the premise after having a conversation over cocktails with a friend about how challenging it can be for women to meet other women that have nothing to do with your children, your spouse, or your job. And what better way to meet other women than the common interest in bourbon? And as bourbon's become such a big trend, especially in Kentucky, people are curious. They want to learn a little bit more. So what we've tried to do is create experiences for women over the last year that gives them a chance to ease their way into bourbon. We found that it's been appealing to both those that are bourbon curious and those more that are more experienced and more embrace the whole bourbon culture. So we create unique events throughout the year. We do everything that from what we call mix and mingles, which is just where we invite women to come out and just have a cocktail together, to we have distiller meetups where we actually are able to bring in the master distillers that come in and we'll share a little bit more about their product, and those are a little bit higher end experiences.
Well, that sounds fun. Now, can I come to your mix and mingles?
You know, we don't discriminate. Men are more than welcome. My only criteria is you got to be able to hang with about 40 to 50 women.
And, right in my alley.
We don't market to the men, but we've had a few show up, a few brave souls at a couple of our tastings we've had, and they tend to have a pretty good time. So.
Okay. Well, very good. Well, let's bring in Bruce Corwin, my bourbon brother here. And, Bruce, you're involved in an organization called the Bourbon Brotherhood.
That's correct.
Right?
Yes.
And how is that different from, just the alternate sex version of Whiskey Chicks?
You know, it's really not very much different. And it's kind of funny because Linda and I each came up with these ideas independently, started them about the same time and with the same idea. We meet monthly. We're on a regular schedule. I don't think the Whiskey Chicks are quite as regular schedule, but we meet every month on the fourth Wednesday from 5:30 to 7:30. We do pull out a little earlier in the month for November and December because of the holidays. We don't want to be drinking bourbon on Christmas Day, for example, with our buddies. But it's really great. It's one of the only men's groups, I think, in Louisville that meets on a regular basis to enjoy camaraderie and socializing.
Okay. And you don't, do you let women come to your events?
We haven't, like Linda, we haven't invited any, and I think we had one show up once, but it's been pretty thin. I think the women have a lot of other options as far as groups that they can go to, but men are a little bit more limited on what we have available.
Okay, so there's not the whole sexual tension in any of these events. It's all about bourbon, right?
It's all about bourbon, it really, and a lot about the socialization piece of it, to where you can just kind of sit back, relax, have a cocktail, and just get to know other people. You know, we only have one rule with the Whiskey Chicks, and that is that you have to make everybody feel warm and welcomed when you come to one of our events or if you're part of one of our events.
Okay.
So far, we've held true to that, and we've had some really great experiences. And I will tell you, the most exciting part about doing this has been the women that I've met, very different than others that I network with through the city of Louisville. I've met people from all over parts of the city, different demographics. We've had three generations of one family come to an event.
Wow.
At our last event, our oldest member there was 94 years old, sitting back having a cocktail at Four Roses and listening to Jim Rutledge talk about bourbon. It was great.
Okay, great. So, Bruce, do you have just one rule or any rules for the dudes?
Our rules are pretty light. Like I said, we invite men, but we have, as Linda has explained with Whiskey Chicks, we have a wide range of men from their 20s all the way up to, I don't really ask how old they are, but 80s, 90s perhaps, I don't know. It's a very even...
Older than us.
Yeah, well, a little older than you, Rick.
All right, well, okay, so... You guys can't. How did the Whiskey Chicks and Bourbon Brothers meet and set up this event? How'd that all come about?
Yeah, actually, we have a few common friends, but one good common friend is a fellow named Bob Dolligale, who Linda used to work with, and he's a good friend of mine. Our kids are best friends. And so Bob introduced the two of us and said, hey, you guys have to meet each other. So we got together. And for our first meeting, Linda, I thought she was great, really liked her. And the first thing that came out of her mind was that we should put together a joint event. And I was very enthusiastic about that as well. And we talked about doing a charity event. One of the things we wanted to do was a charity event that didn't feel like a charity event. We didn't want people to show up and then feel like they're getting nickel and dimed and asked for this and asked for that. And having to listen to big, long speeches and all that. So we decided our event was going to be fun. And it's going to be a fundraiser, maybe before a fundraiser. And so we had it at the Evan Williams Bourbon Experience downtown here, which was new at the time. And it was a great party. We had food. We had open bar. It was just a really great time. And people said it really didn't feel like a fundraiser, although it did end up raising over $10,000 for the Coalition for the Homeless.
Oh, well, great. Well, now, I hear that, and you know, I'm okay with the whole thing. It's all about bourbon and it's not, but... Whiskey Chicks and Bourbon, there has to be some sort of matchmaking going on or some sort of attraction. There's got to be at least one story like that, right, Linda?
Well, there's one story, but I'm not sure we'll share that story here.
Well,
we did have a few volunteers that actually I think they went out on a date one time. But the funny part was neither one of them showed up again after one of the events. So Bruce and I still don't know what happened on that date. So we just kind of left it from there.
Wow.
And the other thing is that Linda's husband is very much a bourbon enthusiast. And he's a member, active member of the Bourbon Brotherhood. And in fact, today our... groups were both featured in the Courier Journal, and they had three pictures that they featured, and Linda's husband was in the center of one of those pictures.
I think he's become the poster child because he was in the Village Voice as well, which cracked me up. He's getting more press on this thing than Bruce or I.
Well, it's good to be known for some. If you're going to be known for some around here, it's bourbon. I want to ask you real quickly about this location because, we're on the second floor above Impella's Aries, and Linda, I guess this is your office, and, you know, you look right across the street, and wow, what a view. Tell me how this came about and what that means for the future, we're right across from Whiskey Row.
Well, we're actually in our office. I have a marketing agency during the day called Execuity. We stumbled upon this space when we were looking for some place to start our business, and the appeal of Whiskey Row was not only beautiful and the architectural elements, but also the link between the Whiskey Chicks and Whiskey Row was incredibly appealing, right? It kind of fits in, and we kind of manage both businesses out of this office as well. When the fire hit a month or so ago, it was pretty amazing and very devastating, and to watch all of it. For almost a week, we watched firefighters out there fighting and trying to save the facades of one of the most historical places in Louisville. We actually had fire chiefs and captains in our building. We actually had one climb out one of our windows onto the roof, checking out and really trying to inspect what was going on. We've also witnessed engineering at its best as they've tried to save the facades over the last couple weeks, and we're very hopeful that they'll be able to restore it into a condition that it remains that historical element of downtown Main Street, because it's so beautiful and has so much history. And we're also equally excited that Old Forester's going to be right across the street, and that's where they're going to be putting their new facility.
I missed that. Who?
Old Forester.
Oh, okay.
Old Forester with part of Brown Foreman.
With the big sign over there, of course.
Yeah, and they expect that to open in 2017, so we're excited to see that to progress as well.
Right in the middle of it. Right in the middle of it. Okay, so Bruce, I'll let you tell me about the bourbon mixer. I know the charity... Best Buddies is close to your heart, and certainly I know Emily who runs that over there. Why don't you fill us in on how people that want to go experience all this bourbon and socializing would do that.
Sure. I mean, the easiest place to go is the website, and it's easy to find. It's bourbonmixer.com. If you go to bourbonmixer.com, you'll see all the information on the event. Again, it starts Saturday, August 15th. It's from 6:30 to 10:30. It's at a brand new facility called Pasolino's. Some people may be familiar with a downtown event venue called the Gillespie, which was created by a fellow named Brian Gillespie. It's in an old bank building, a historic bank building.
Well, I know the Gillespie.
You do? Okay. Well, okay. Well, if you know the Gillespie, Brian Gillespie's the guy behind that, and that's how it got its name. He bought another venue just down the street, just a few blocks away, and he called it Pasolino's, which was named after, as I understand it, his mother's side of the family. Very similar in layout to the Gillespie, a little bit smaller, but again, it's an antique building, historical building from 1885, I believe.
Okay.
It's just been
on the same street?
It's on the Market Street, yep.
Right at
the
corner
of Market, corner of Market and 2nd Street.
Wow.
So
very cool.
Just a couple blocks from where we're sitting right now.
Okay.
And it's an excellent venue. It's all just brand new. We're going to be one of the first events that's going to be held there, so it's going to be exciting not only to be at the event itself, but to see this brand new facility.
Okay.
Well,
yeah.
And we're incredibly excited because we've got 8 distilleries participating this year. Last year, Evan Williams was our sole sponsor and participating distillery, and this year we were able to open it up to Heaven Hill, and Evan Williams is obviously going to carry on their support, and we're fantastic last year. But we have Four Roses, Woodford Reserve, we've got Beam Centauri, Maker's Mark, Buffalo Trace, Bullet, and Old Forester all coming out. And the exciting part is each one of them they'll be providing samples of some of their best, but they've all created specialty cocktails or specialty drinks for it. Just a little insider information, we know that there might be a few popsicles, root beer floats.
Mm.
We have a special drink called Fire and Ice that they're going to be making, which is going to be a best combination of one of the best spirits out there, along with a little bit of science that kind of goes along with it on how they actually create a
wow.
great cocktail. So,
so now you're talking about some fun stuff. So you get to drink some dip stuff we're not used to, and that sounds
and
like.
We're also going to have a tremendous selection of silent auction items, and again, we're not going to have any live auction items. It's all going to be silent, so it's not going to interrupt your evening of having fun and socializing and mixing. We're going to have, we've got spa packages, we've got cigars, we have all kinds of bourbon packages.
Actually, just secured today with Moonshine University, 2 tickets to their bourbon experience workshop, where actually people that come to that will are able to, they'll go through the whole distillation process of putting the grain in the still and everything and bringing it all the way through and doing a tasting at the end. So that one just got added, so
wow.
very excited about it.
Well, it sounds awesome. Now, how much does it cost to get in?
The tickets are $100.
Okay.
But that will get you access to all 8 distilleries, full dinner buffet with some delicious appetizers and some great southern cuisine that we've matched up specifically to bourbon. We actually have Art Eatables, who will be there providing some of their specialty bourbon chocolates. And we have Mertz Cakes, who is the producer of the bourbon praline cake, will also be there. So we've got a lot of different surprises in store for people.
Man.
And even for those that have their significant other may not be big bourbon fans and they're trying to convince them to come out, we put together a bar that'll have beer and wine.
Going to have some wine there. That's what I need for my girlfriend. And, so she,
non-bourbon
she
drinkers will still feel very welcome.
Can't get her into the Whiskey Chicks or anything. So anyway, well, let's have a little toast. Let's clink our glasses. And thank you guys for being on the Rusty Satellite Show.
Thank you very much.
All right, and we're back after that fun experience down there downtown with Chris and Linda. Thank you all for being on the show, showing me around. They got some really great stuff on the walls there. I wasn't familiar with that firm, but boy, what a fantastic space. Check out the photos from Bill Breimer. He went up there for the interview with me, and it was a really great time. So anyways, we move on. This is part of the show where I talk a little bit about things that are going on in my life or in the life of the city of Louisville, my hometown. And I first want to tell you, had quite an adventure. As you know, if you listened last week, my son Nick was living in New Orleans. We went down there on a vacation and brought him back. And he's in town now getting ready to he's actually going to fly out of Newark to Italy. Italy, where he's going to study theater, and he has I really admire this about him. He's got his career sort of an idea for what his career is going to be like in theater, and I just admire the heck out of what Nick has accomplished. But knowing that he's going to be gone for 3 years, I wanted to do something special with my three sons. Luke is a 17-year-old senior at Eastern High School. Josh is a recent graduate. He's 23 of the University of Louisville Speed School. He's going to get married in October. That'll be a big deal. And he really wants to be on the show. I don't know if we're going to work that out. We're going to try to. Maybe that would count as like a wedding present or something. But no, just kidding around, Josh. We're gonna have you on the show. But anyway, we hadn't gone out on a trip together in several years. So Josh has a newfound, in the last year, he has become quite the hiker. So I said, well, let's go hiking. And he's been talking about the Red River Gorge. So we went there, and it was really a good time. In my experience in camping, I'd never gone too far from the car because that's where all the stuff was. But Josh's idea of camping is to walk at least a couple of miles into the woods and find a campsite, which means you got to carry stuff on your back. You got to have a backpack and all that. And I really got to tell you, I met up with some being physically challenged for the first time in a while. It's not easy and sort of intimidating. We were walking in, and there were dozens of rescue vehicles at the campsite that they were looking for a 31-year-old man who had disappeared a week ago. They had a search and rescue effort going on, but we walked right past that into the woods, and we went in there about 4 or 5 o'clock. Got to our campsite about 6, and I got to tell you, we turned on some music and broke out the moonshine that Nick had insisted on buying at a odd little liquor store in Winchester on the way, and so we had a good time. A lot of really what you would call male bonding, I guess, up there. And so the next day we woke up and came back, and I do want to tell you one little story, because it just amazes me how different the culture is in such a small space, and the culture of Eastern Kentucky hadn't been exposed to in a while. So we're starving for breakfast. We don't want to go to McDonald's or a chain like that. So we find this place in Stanton called Brun's. And it is a true step back in time. I tell you, you just don't realize it until you go to someplace like this. And we walked in there, four of us. I mean, I'm sure we were quite at the sight because we had been camping all night, no showers, no nothing. But we walked in and, we sit down and right next, not 2 feet from our table, there's a man probably about my age with two little kids, and he's smoking right there at the table. He's smoking a cigarette. And, it took a moment to adjust to that whole thing. I wrote a piece about this on LouisvilleKY.com and Kurt, you to look at that and read it. There's some great pictures from our trip, and it was all a great, great trip. This restaurant was such a trip. I guess it was just that everybody in there, there's a dozen or so other customers, everybody in there was smoking. This one lady came in, just didn't order any food, just was sitting there smoking, and she got a fly swatter out. I don't know what the health department of Eastern Kentucky would think of that, but she's just swatting flies right in the dining room with a fly swatter. I don't know. I guess it's just like, a month or two ago, I told you about going down to No Lynn. This place, people just have a different way of looking at things. We passed by, there was a flyer in the restaurant for a Southern Brothers picnic that's coming up. You can still go. It's this Saturday, August 15th. If you're not going to the bourbon mixer, which I would recommend, you can go to Stanton and go to the Southern Brothers picnic. The flyer was adorned with Confederate flags. And as we were driving through the countryside, that me and the boys were had a conversation about the different versions of the Confederate flag. We had plenty to choose from and marvel at. It's just a different thing. I concluded that basically, as far as camping goes, I think I'm okay with taking the conveniences of maybe an RV or camping, car camping or something like that, because it's tough. It's really hard to carry all that stuff and go back. I can't wait till this, and this is coming out September 2nd, this movie Walk in the Woods, A Walk in the Woods with Robert Redford, and I got to go see it. I read the book many years ago. It's about two guys hiking the Appalachian Trail, which I don't know. Maybe after my ankle surgery, I'll be in the mood to think about that. But I think I'll do that, and I think I'll stay with city living. I don't think living in the country would be the life for me. Just dealing, it's not that there's anything wrong with people. It's just that I don't think I had much in common with them. I don't know what I do and talk about. So anyway, that was my trip to Red River Gorge. We got back on Sunday. It was just a great experience. So thanks to the boys for going with me. I want to talk just a couple of fun stories in the news. I always talk about the things in the news. I saw this this piece in Inside of Louisville this week that Louisville is number 7 on this list of the best cities for beer lovers. Can you believe it? There's a lot of breweries popping up around town. One right down the street here in Jeffersontown. I can't wait. I don't know yet if they're going to be open for the Gaslight Festival. I hope they are. It's coming up in mid-September. It's a great annual event, and it's right down the street from my house. But anyway, the best cities for beer lovers, we beat out Chicago, Boston, Seattle, Denver, Austin, Nashville. We're better than all those for beer, if you can believe it. The top cities might surprise you. Providence, Rhode Island, Houston, Cleveland, Minneapolis, St. Paul, Kansas City, and Portland is the number one city in the country for beer lovers. But there's plenty of beer to love around here, and I think it's kind of cool that we made that list. The city also got some good news about its for cyclists, for bikes. We got a silver bicycle friendly status from this organization. The mayor made a big announcement about it. It's the League of American Bicyclists upgraded Louisville from we were in the bronze category, now we're in silver. I don't know, all these, you know, you hear about all these bike plans and multi-use paths and shared lane markings, the stuff that Mayor Greg Fisher has been behind and pushing to make the city more of a bike-friendly city. Some of that's working. It really is. You know, I ride my bike a lot around here. People sometimes look at me crazy because I like to ride on the busy roads and make the cars go around me, but it's good news. And, you know, you go to a place like, especially New Orleans. I was there a couple weeks ago, and bikes are very commonplace there. And now the roads in New Orleans, you know, you can't really go that fast on a road bike in the streets of New Orleans because there's so many bumps and potholes, and the streets are in terrible shape down there. Around here, you know, you sort of can if you're brave enough to fight the traffic. That's one thing. So anyway, congratulations to the mayor and all that for getting that award and that designation. That's really a good thing. As you know, I can't believe this. I just started thinking about this. My son Luke, who I mentioned earlier on a camping trip, is in his senior year at Eastern High School. This is the last back to school season for me as a parent of a JCPS student. Been going on since 1995 or 6 when Nick started kindergarten. So that's a long time. I'm sure they're going to miss me at JCPS, but no longer. This is my last year as a parent of a JCPS student. It's a big deal. I have 3 boys and all made it through the JCPS public schools in great shape. They all got great educations. I'm very proud of all of them. So looking forward to him getting back into school and enjoying his senior year. That's what's coming up. So anyway, let's move on to my next guest. It's Chris Ott, and I met Chris many years ago. He was a reporter at the Courier Journal, and I basically wanted to go down and see how the I wouldn't call it an experiment. Bill Lamb, the general manager down there at WDRB, made a bold move a couple of years ago, or even longer ago, when he hired Eric Crawford and Rick Bozich from the Courier Journal sports desk to come over to a TV station. Now, it doesn't seem so odd now, but back then it did. It seemed like a crazy move. And then he went and hired these journalists. In addition to Chris, he hired Marcus Green and Jason Riley and Tony Kahns. And they are doing a great job. I really, honestly, if I really want to see what's going on in the news, WDRB is probably the place I go. I'm not watching much TV anymore. But, you know, if you want to catch local news online, WDRB, that's the place to get. You know, you can watch newscasts on your phone or on your computer. It's no big news. But that's what I've been doing lately. I'm actually thinking about canceling my Dish Network subscription because that's a lot of money that I don't need to be spending every month. But anyway, back to Chris. Turns out Chris is from New Orleans, who we talked about, and went on to the University of Alabama, and he has really adopted Louisville as his home, and he lives in the Beachmont area, an area where I grew up, and he's a really great guy. He's doing a great job over there at WDRB. So let's listen in. Here's my interview with Chris Ott.
No matter how young and healthy you are, life can be full of unpleasant surprises. And without health insurance, even a short hospital stay could set you back thousands of dollars. If you qualify for expanded Medicaid, you can get coverage through Passport Health Plan. Find out if you qualify. Call 855-459-6328 or go online at kynect.ky.gov. Choose Passport, the plan that takes the time to care.
Today, the Rusty Satellite Show is down in the I don't know where we are. I don't know how to get out if I get lost. This is WDRB-TV with Chris Ottz, reporter. Chris, welcome to the show.
Hey, well, thanks for having me.
I'm fascinated by, I hadn't been in this building since the remodel, and the however many millions were built here, and it's a lot nicer, right?
It is.
Good working space.
Nicer and bigger, most importantly.
Yeah, exactly. Well, just to introduce our listeners, you were a reporter over at the Courier-Journal and left and ended up here, and that was big news in journalism circles around Louisville, and it's been 2 years since that happened.
Yeah, actually, yeah, you're right. It's coming up on my two-year anniversary here.
So, I guess we need to get an update, a report on how the grand experiment of journalists and TV is going.
Well, I mean, I can only speak for myself. It's been fantastic. I think my colleagues and I, so that'd be Marcus Green and Jason Riley and Tony Cons, I mean, we all just absolutely love it here. It's been a really good opportunity to do what we were doing before, but to add the television element, to, you know, make the television product, you know, deeper, more in depth, you know, give our viewers more than the other stations. And so WDRB has just been incredibly supportive of what we do. They basically let us do what we want to do and you know, decide what we do and give us the resources that we need to make things happen. So,
I kind of watch a little bit. Sure. I don't read everything you write, but and your colleagues as well. But I guess my question is it easier or harder than working at a newspaper? I mean, with the different product that you have.
Well, some things are easier and some things are harder, but I would say it's mostly easier. Because we just have a lot of freedom to decide what to write about, what to explore, and to put that up on the web, and not to really worry about where it's going in the paper. And even before, when we were at the paper, they said, well, don't worry about where things are going. Just put everything on the web as soon as you get it. But you still have a lot of planning that's involved with producing the daily print product that still drove a lot of decisions. Now we're free to be purely online and just put stuff out there, and you know, it's been a great experiment.
Well, tell me where I'm wrong, because I've written for a publication and I've written online, and my observation was, boy, it was great to get away from those darn editors at the paper.
Yeah, right.
Is it that way around here? You still got people to look at your stuff, I guess, before it goes up.
Yes, and I just think the model that we have here for it's not that we don't have editing. We do, but it's a much different process. And the way it works is that the four of us who used to work at the Courier we'll look at each other's stuff and we collaborate. And I say, Marcus, I wouldn't approach the story this way. I think you've kind of buried the best quote way down here. I would pull it up. I would do this and this and this. And you can ask them. I am definitely the worst.
So Marcus is the guy that really doesn't have it. He needs a lot of help.
Well, if you ask them, all three of them will say that I'm the one who's rewriting everything. But what's great about it is that it's collaborative. It is us helping each other, and there's no top down. There's no this is what the story is going to be, whether you like it or not. This is how the lead is going to be, whether you like it or not. It's here's my suggestion, but it's your story. If you still want to do it that way, you do it that way.
Right.
So that's what's been really neat.
I guess ultimately somebody has the ultimate editor's cut or
and usually that's the person who wrote the story.
Okay.
And we do have supervisors, like our assistant news director will often read our Sunday stories, actually usually reads our Sunday stories and provides, you know, helpful feedback. And you know, our news director at times will read things, especially when we've got, you know, some big news or something particularly sensitive. But you know, in our experiment, it's really been the writers who have the most control over their final product, and I think that's a good thing, because you know, you really maintain ownership over what you're doing and what you put out.
Yeah, the story didn't come out, and you don't recognize what you wrote, right? It's which happened, I'm sure, at the paper sometimes.
you definitely recognize what you wrote here because it is really still within your control.
All right. Well, let's talk about some of the stuff you've been doing because in 2 years, primarily writing about business. What are some of the highlights in terms of stories that I guess have impact since you've been here?
Well, lately, and I'm not the only reporter who's been on this story, but the compensation issues at the University of Louisville has been a big thing, you know, sort of getting into the U of L Foundation and examining what has happened there and how all that stuff works. That's been kind of the story of the spring.
Those people really don't like you questioning how they're spending their money, do they?
Well, they're not bad to work with actually, and they're trying to do a better job now getting information to us and to be responsive, frankly.
Okay.
So that has been a big story, and then we've had two of the biggest business stories in decades in Louisville with GE and Humana both changing hands or potentially changing hands. We don't know exactly how those things are going to work out. And what's been really neat about how we do things here is that when both of those deals were announced, I was able to be on the news live at 4, and we had our package saying, here's what happened, and then the anchor were able to go to me and say, okay, given your experience, what does all this mean? What do you think, et cetera? And so we were able to, you know, add that layer of depth to our newscast and our coverage of those.
Sure. But I guess what I'd ask you about a big story like that, big story breaks, and you know, it seems like in today's media, you see the headline, and you see, oh, okay, all right, Humana sold, you know, let's move on. But I guess you're still out there looking for something that the other reporters don't have.
Oh, absolutely. I mean, a story I did after the Humana sale, I mean, there were several that we did sort of looking at what the impact could be and basically filling the vacuum of information with speculation because that's all we have right now. But it's such a big deal. You need to try to get behind it and tell people something they didn't know. So, for example, I did a Sunday edition about a month and a half ago where I just talked about the whole possibility of what if Louisville could lure Aetna here, which some people think is an absolutely crazy idea. But it was interesting enough to me to write a story sort of exploring that possibility and saying what are the things that work in our favor? What are the things that work against Connecticut? How could something like that happen? Is it even reasonable? And I think, you know, that kind of story gives our readers and viewers more perspective than just Aetna's going to buy Humana and we don't know what it means for jobs.
Yeah, and it's all about jobs. Okay, well, I want to ask you specifically about one story you wrote recently. Since the beginning of automobiles, I think people have been worried about the price of gas. Okay,
right.
So Jack Conway's got this big deal going.
Mm-hmm.
Now, is he bringing back this whole story about the lawsuit and gas prices because of the governor's race, or is this really, are we ever going to find out why gas is 20 cents more here than when I like went to New Orleans and gas didn't cost as much?
Well, I think that Conway's litigation will definitely open an avenue, at least for us, to examine that question a little bit more by forcing information and expert witnesses and discovery potentially out, you know, getting that information into the open. Whereas, you know, before, really all we have is, hey, prices are high and they're way higher than they are in Tennessee or wherever. It doesn't really seem to make sense, but, you know, Marathon won't say anything, and Jack Conway says that the Fed should act and nothing happens, and that's kind of where we were. So now that he's brought this lawsuit, I mean, it could potentially bring new facts out that we don't know, and that's something that I'm definitely going to be looking very carefully at.
Yeah. We always think there's some dude up there controlling the pricing and that's sitting on his extra 20 cents he's getting. That doesn't make any sense. I mean, you know, the gas thing, because I was covering it back when I was at Business First in the 90s. It was the same story. You know, why gas prices change, and it never makes any sense. So,
well, I mean, I think one of the theories about that is, you know, when Marathon merged with Ashland Oil back in the 1990s, it created this very powerful company that, in terms of the Kentucky market and Louisville specifically, with the reformulated gas, has a really big stranglehold on the market. If Jack Conway is correct in his figures that 90 to 95% of the reformulated gas that goes into this market that has to be sold here because of our environmental regulations mm-hmm. comes from Marathon, well, you know, that's an awfully big market position, and so it's a reasonable question to ask, is this a competitive market or are they exploiting that market position? I'm not saying that's what I think,
right.
but that those are the kinds of facts that will hopefully be flushed out a little bit more as this litigation goes on.
Yeah, and I think, you know, certainly we can't overlook the fact that it could affect the governor's race if he comes out with some really great news. Hey, I found out who was, you know, I found out why. But
well,
you know.
This is going to take a long time, and I feel like it's barely going to get started before the governor's
right.
race. Honestly, if you look at the pace of how things have gone, so he filed the complaint May 12th, and we haven't even gotten a formal response in court from Marathon yet. And then you have to say if Conway wins the governor's race. Who the next attorney general is, that person going to prosecute this lawsuit with the same interest?
Right.
And you know, so that'll be another question.
All right. Well, you're certainly keeping your hand on the pulse of everything going on in business. Just a little bit about you. I know you're from New Orleans. We talked about my recent trip out there. You grew up there, went to Alabama, and tell me about your life in Louisville in basically my old neighborhood in Beachmont, right?
Yeah, well, so I met my wife here, and we're expecting in October.
All right.
so we're bought in, and we were renting in the Highlands a couple of years ago before we got married, and we decided we could get a lot more house in a beautiful old walkable neighborhood in the South End, and so we bought in the neighborhood of Beachmont, and almost immediately I ended up on the Beachmont Neighborhood Association board, which I think you get for going to like one meeting. And now my wife is on the board, and she works at a nonprofit here in town called National Safe Place, which is actually a unit of the Louisville YMCA, but a national program that we have based here. So it's been good.
Yeah. Well, great. It sounds like a great setup for you. Congratulations on having the baby. And, I'm anxious to keep up with what you're doing here at WDRB.
Okay, well, thanks very much, Rick. I appreciate it.
All right. And thank you very much, Chris, for taking a few moments out of your day to talk with me about journalism in Louisville and what's going on at WDRB. I realize there's maybe some listeners. I've been talking a lot about the show as I go around town and do my thing, and understand, and I'm bringing in new listeners all the time. This podcast thing is really gaining some momentum. So thank you very much. Keep spreading the word for me, if you don't mind. Tell people about the show, the Rusty Satellite Show, the home of the most interesting people in the Ville. I want to put out a big thank you to my sponsor, Snelling Staffing, and sponsors of the Job of the Week, and to Passport Health Plans, which has been with me from nearly the very beginning, and great folks over there at Passport Health Plan. My site, if you're looking for some summaries of news items, LouisvilleKY.com is the site to go to. I'm own and operate that site with some help from my friends, Jackie Bentley and Bill Breimer, who's you know, some of the photographs you see on the site and on RustySatelliteShow.com. Really appreciate what Bill's doing to make everything look better. So that's going to do it for this episode of the Rusty Satellite Show. I hope you'll tell your friends about it. Come back next week. Each and every week I'll have two more new guests. I actually know next week that I'm going to be talking about police work with Chief Rick Sanders of the Jeffersontown Police Department. So you'll want to tune in for that and join me again to see what else is going on in this great city, my hometown, Louisville, Kentucky. This is Rick Redding signing off for the Rusty Satellite Show.
Thanks for listening to the Rusty Satellite Podcast with your host, Rick Redding. Next week, Rick will be right back here on Louisville.am with another stellar lineup of great guests. You can let Rick know what you think by sending an email to rick@louisvilleky.com. He's on Twitter, too, at Ricky Redding. For more information about the show, including photos of Rusty Satellite Show guests, go to LouisvilleKY.com, the pulse of the city.
turning airplanes into buildings every time.